Chapter 10. Brother and Sister. Maggie left Aunt Moss at the end of the week and went back to St. Ogg's. She was away from Lucy many mornings, visiting her aunts and seeing her mother. But Lucy wanted Maggie there every evening to have dinner with the Deans and Stephen. Lucy noticed that Maggie seemed strangely sad at that time. She thought that Maggie was worried about Philip and her brother. But inside, Maggie was fighting her feelings for Stephen, and he was fighting his feelings for her. He was quieter during dinner and looked across the table at Maggie as often as he could. Sometimes Maggie looked at Stephen and their eyes met. In those moments, they saw the love and pain that they both felt, but they knew that in a few weeks they must part. Philip sometimes came for dinner too. He was there one evening when Lucy said,
"Let's take a boat on the river tomorrow before Maggie leaves us. Maggie loves being on the river. Will you all come?"
"No, I don't like being in a boat with lots of other people," said Stephen quickly.
"There will only be four of us," replied Lucy.
She was surprised and embarrassed to hear Stephen answer so sternly. Philip was listening too. Could Stephen be acting this way because of his feelings for Maggie? He watched Stephen and Maggie closely that evening and went home with a strong feeling that they were in love. He felt very ill. The next day, Lucy made a new plan for Maggie's boat ride.
"I have decided to ride with my father in our carriage to a town called Lindum," she told Maggie. "You and Philip can go on the boat down the river to that same place. I will meet you there."
Maggie was happy with the plan. When Stephen was near, she felt confused and uncomfortable because of her feelings for him. She felt calmer when she thought about being alone with Philip on the quiet river. When Lucy went out early with her father that morning, Maggie got ready for the boat ride. At 10:30, Maggie heard the front door open, but the person's voice was not Philip's. The door to the sitting room opened and Stephen entered. Maggie sat down quickly. Her heart was beating very fast. "Philip is not coming," said Stephen. "I am going with you in the boat."
"Oh, we can't go," said Maggie quickly.
"Why hasn't Philip come?"
"He sent me a message this morning. He is not well. He asked me to come instead," said Stephen. "Let's go. It will not take us long to get to Lindum." So they went. Stephen held Maggie's hand as she got into the boat. The river was calm as they rowed silently past sunny green fields and many pretty villages. Maggie was enjoying the beautiful river and did not care that she did not know where they were. Then Stephen suddenly stopped rowing. He looked down at the smooth water as the boat moved slowly on it. Maggie felt uncomfortable as she looked around. Everything suddenly looked strange to her.
"Where are we?" asked Maggie. "Have we passed Lindum?"
"We are a long way from there," answered Stephen in a strange, dreamy voice.
"Oh, what shall we do?" cried Maggie. "We will not get home for hours. What will Lucy think?"
She started crying like a frightened child. Stephen sat beside her and held both of her hands.
"Maggie," he said, "we must not go home again until we are married. The river can carry us down to Torby. There, we can get a carriage to a place where we can get married." Maggie listened. Part of her wanted to let the river carry her away to a new life with Stephen. But a bigger part of her was angry with Stephen for taking her away from her old one.
"Let me go!" she cried. "You knew that we were too far along the river, and you didn't tell me. Now you have made things very difficult for me with Lucy."
Stephen let go of Maggie's hands. He was hurt that Maggie was angry at him. But he realised that he was wrong. "I didn't know that we were passing Lindum at the time. When I realised, I decided to go on," said Stephen. "I'm sorry that I did it. Please don't hate me, Maggie." Maggie started to feel sorry for Stephen. They moved along the river quietly for a while before they saw dark clouds above them. Maggie started to feel cold in her thin summer dress. Stephen gave her his coat and started rowing towards Torby as quickly as he could. Soon, they saw another boat coming down the river behind them, and Stephen had an idea. "Maggie, my dear," he said, "it may rain soon. If it does, it will be very difficult to get to Torby in this boat. That big boat can take us to Mudport, by the sea. Then we can decide what to do." Maggie's heart began beating very quickly again, but she could not speak as Stephen waved to the big boat.
"We went too far,"
he shouted to the men on the boat.
"Can you take my wife and I to Mudport? I will pay you well." "Yes, come with us. We will get to Mudport tomorrow," replied one of the men.
Maggie and Stephen's night together on the boat felt like a strange dream. Maggie was tired and cold and slept for many hours. But Stephen could not sleep. He walked up and down the boat. When Maggie woke up in the morning, she was very worried. She knew that a good, happy life with Stephen was impossible. She did not want to hurt the other people in her life who loved her. "We are near Mudport now," said Stephen as he came to Maggie with a cup of coffee. "We can make a plan when we get off this boat."
"We will not be together, Stephen," Maggie said calmly. "We will part when we get off the boat."
Stephen turned red.
"I will die before that happens."
"We must part," said Maggie.
"You can't go back to St. Ogg's now," Stephen cried. "You were away with me for a night. Everyone will be talking about us. We must get married, or you will embarrass yourself and your family. And what about me? I love you. You will hurt me if you leave me."
But Maggie knew what she wanted to do.
"I will not start a life, a future with you, because it will hurt too many others. What is Lucy feeling now? She trusted us, loved us. Think of her."
"I can't think of her," cried Stephen. "I can only think of you, Maggie."
"I can't marry you, Stephen. I never planned to, and I won't. I will go back and tell Lucy everything. She will believe that I did nothing to hurt her," Maggie said.
Stephen could not look at her. At last he said,
"Go then, leave me. Don't hurt me any longer."
Stephen walked away from her as the boat moved towards Mudport.
When they got off the boat, they got into different carriages. Tom was standing on the path to the house when Maggie's carriage reached the mill. Maggie walked towards him, but she stopped when she saw how angry he looked.
"Tom, I have come home to tell you everything," she said.
"You will find no home here with me," said Tom. "Everyone in St. Ogg's knows about you and that man. They are all talking about you. You have embarrassed the family and our father's name. You do not have a brother anymore."
"I have not done what you think, Tom. I had strong feelings, but I fought them. We just went too far along the river in the boat. I came back as soon as I could," cried Maggie.
"I don't believe you, Maggie. Go and see what you have done to Lucy. She is ill. She cannot speak," said Tom, as he turned and walked towards the house.
"Tom," Maggie said slowly, "I want to make things right."
With pain in her heart, she turned back towards the gate.
"My child, I'll go with you. You have a mother,"
shouted Mrs. Tulliver, running from the house. Maggie took her mother's hand, and they walked down the road together silently.
"Mother," said Maggie after a while, "where shall we go?" "Let's try your Aunt Glegg," said Mrs. Tulliver.
Aunt Glegg, of course, knew everything about Maggie and Stephen Guest before Maggie and her mother reached her house, which also stood beside the River Floss. But she surprised them both by becoming more angry at Tom for sending Maggie away from the mill. Aunt Glegg was ready to argue with anyone in St. Ogg's who said untrue things about her own niece. She knew that Maggie was wrong to go away with Stephen, but not wrong enough for people to say terrible things about her. 2 or 3 days passed, and Maggie heard nothing from Philip or Lucy. What did they believe about her? She felt ill with worry. After 2 more days, Aunt Glegg gave Maggie a letter. "Maggie, I know in my heart that you haven't done anything wrong and that you never lied to me. I knew that you had feelings for Stephen. When I heard that you went away with him, I waited to hear that you were married. But you are not. There is something stronger in you than your love for him. My dear, good-hearted Maggie, I will never go away from you. I will always be your loving friend, Philip Wakeham." Maggie sat beside the bed crying. As the weeks passed, she heard small bits of news from Aunt Glegg about Lucy. Maggie wanted more than anything to see her cousin. Did Lucy believe what the people of St. Ogg's were saying about her and Stephen? Maggie wanted to tell her not to. But soon, Maggie heard that Lucy was going away to a town beside the sea. She planned to leave behind all the talk in St. Ogg's. One evening, Maggie was sitting beside a window in her bedroom at Aunt Glegg's house, watching the river run past, when she felt a hand on her arm.
"Maggie,"
a soft voice said.
"Lucy!"
Maggie's surprised voice answered. Lucy threw her arms round Maggie's neck.
"I came without telling anyone," Lucy said happily. "I must only stay a little while."
They sat down together. Talking felt very difficult. Then Maggie started crying.
"I never lied to you, Lucy,"
said Maggie.
I felt terrible about how I felt for Stephen. I never wanted you to know about it. And Lucy, he did not want to lie to you either. He didn't want to have the feelings that he did for me. He will come back to you. I know it.
Lucy looked down.
I should not stay much longer. I'm going away on Friday. When I come back and feel stronger, I will come to see you again.
Lucy held Maggie one last time before she left. Some weeks later, Maggie was again sitting alone in her room, thinking about her life. Her mother, aunt and uncle were away for the night. It was past midnight, and rain and wind were hitting the window hard. At that moment, Maggie suddenly felt cold water around her feet.
The river has flooded!
Maggie cried out to no one. The water was coming in fast. Without a thought, Maggie ran through the water and out towards her uncle's boat. She jumped into it from the bank and started rowing, but the fast water pushed her away along the river. She was alone in the dark night. Maggie suddenly thought about the mill and her brother. Did he need help? Maggie forgot everything else and started rowing with the water towards her home. As she passed the woods, she could see how deeply the trees lay in the water. Then she saw the mill. Its roof was gone because of the wind, but the walls of the house stood strong. The lower part of the house was flooded. Maggie came near the front of the house and rowed towards an upstairs window. She could not see anybody inside the house.
Tom, where are you? She called out.
Soon, from a far window, Tom shouted,
Who is it? Have you got a boat?
It's Maggie, she answered.
I'll come to you, said Tom.
Tom came to the window and got into the boat with his sister.
I can row, Maggie, he said.
It was only when they were away from the house that Tom and Maggie could stop and think about the terrible flood. They sat together silently. Tom was surprised that Maggie was able to row alone in the dark to find him.
Dear Magsie, he said quietly.
Let's row to Lucy now, said Maggie, when she could speak. We must see if she is safe.
Tom rowed quickly. They were getting near to St. Ogg's when an enormous piece of wood, which probably came from a building, suddenly appeared out of the water. Tom saw death coming towards them.
Hold on to me, Maggie! He shouted.
In the next moment, the wood hit them, and the boat went under the water. Soon the boat appeared again, far along the river, a black spot on the moving water. Brother and sister were gone forever, taken together by the river that they played along as children many years ago. After the flood, Dorlcote Mill was built again, and the flowers, trees and grass on the land around it grew once more. There, in a quiet place, a gravestone stood on the ground. Lying under it were the bodies of a father and his two children. That gravestone was visited by two different men at different moments. Both of them felt that their happiest and saddest experiences in life lay under it. One of the men visited the stone again with a sweet woman. but that was many years later. The other man was always alone. He often walked in the woods, remembering wonderful times there with the part of his heart that lay under the gravestone. On the stone were the names of Tom and Maggie Tulliver, and below their names was written, "In their death, they could not be parted." Edward Tulliver, Tom Tulliver, and Maggie Tulliver. In their death, they could not be parted. Penguin Readers, The Mill on the Floss, George Eliot, Level 4. Retold by Hannah Dolan. Illustrated by Tanya Rex. Series editor, Sorrel Pitts. Read by Jenny Bryce. Copyright Penguin Books Limited, 2023.